This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com.
This is the Kevin Jackson Radio Show.
Quiet, numbskulls, I'm broadcasting.
So the haters are going to hate. You're listening to The Kevin Jackson Show, thekevinjacksonshow.com. I am your guest host, Charles Love, sitting in, Assistant Executive Director, Seeking Educational Excellence, contributing writer for City Journal. Got a piece up now about the Fund the Police. Go check that out. Or follow me on Twitter, CDouglasLove3. At C. Douglas Love 3. So the haters. So I told you all about the one, now I think there's another, but he wore the shirt. The one NBA player who bucked the system when all his teammates put on the dunce shirt and took a knee during the anthem. He not only stood, but he didn't want to wear the dunce shirt. Well, he had a season-ending injury the other day. I heard that on the news, of course, because I don't watch the foolishness that is the NBA anymore. And as with Herman Cain, the people on the left, because it's not the others, and a lot of them black, cheer, talked about karma, said he had it coming. That's what you get when you don't wear a dunce shirt. So that's just a quick update. I wish him well. I pray for his speedy recovery and that he's able to play again and he still stands for the anthem. But I want to talk about some quick little story here in the news over the weekend, I think it might have been, that Joker Tsarnaev, you remember that name? That's a blast from the past. He is the younger brother of the duo that bombed the Boston Marathon a few years back. Had all the evidence we needed. We know for sure it was them. Brother was killed, fortunately, on the scene. Oh, did I say fortunately? He survived, found guilty, sentenced to death. We thought that that was the end of it. Well, now, a three-person panel, appellate court, has come out and overturned his death sentence, saying primarily that the trial was unfair in the sense that only from the standpoint of the jury selection, they were saying that he should have, or the judge, I guess, should have accounted for and tried to eliminate certain biases. Right? Now, I don't know what the bias was that they had. I would assume it was a bias against, I don't know, murderers and terrorists. I don't know exactly what that was, but they overturned the death sentence, making it clear that this by no means says that he's innocent or that he should not be in jail or retrying that part. He just needs to get an opportunity to get a fair shake. One of the three, however, went further to say he also thought that the judge was unfair in not allowing a change of venue for the trial. You know, trial's in Boston. The bombing was in Boston. Everybody in the town's going to know about it. How does he get a fair trial? I just find it so interesting that, and this is important too because people talk about somebody being a doctor or a lawyer, having this many degrees, or being a journalist, or being from here, or being smart, like that dictates their moral character or what they're capable of or how they think. Let me make this clear. I talk a lot about surface thinkers. You remember my explanation of a surface thinker? Well, surface thinkers come in many forms, many colors and stripes. It's not like you go to Harvard and you are now immune from being a surface thinker. So don't tell me what somebody does for a living or how many degrees they have. Just tell me if they understand common sense and they can think things through. So we are so concerned about the young terrorists' fair trial, but not of others. Shouldn't we? Let's just say, doesn't matter what, this is terrorism. This is a big deal. So what they're really saying is it doesn't matter what you do or how heinous the crime, you deserve a fair trial. Okay, that makes sense. Can we get a little consistency? Here's another high-profile crime you may remember. Jason Van Dyke. If you don't remember the name, you definitely remember the crime. If it was a crime. Jason Van Dyke is the officer who shot the PCP, the teen who was high on PCP, walking in the middle of the street in Chicago, that started lots of riots and protests, Laquan McDonald. So Jason Van Dyke was found guilty for his crime, wasn't sentenced to death, he was sentenced. But the key difference here is his defense team wanted to change the venue and didn't get it. In fact, if that was the case, you're using that logic for fairness, then every high-profile case should get a change of venue. Because in the city, you know, it's what the media does. They like to harp on things. So they will run that thing over and over and over. So everybody's in the city is going to know about, you know, the Boston bombing, George Floyd. What happens there? That's the fresh one in everyone's mind. At some point, that officer is going to have to stand trial. Save this tape and remember this and say, oh, I wonder if they allow him a change of venue. And if they don't, say, what about the Boston bomber? You see, consistency. It's not about whether somebody should get a fair trial or not. That's fair. That's true. It's about them deciding when someone gets a fair trial. It's them saying, black man gets a DUI, go to jail. Illegal immigrant gets a DUI, just sneaks you out the back door. That's the difference. And when that is happening in the system and people are winning their prosecutor seats and the DA seats to do that kind of thing, that is the systemic problem that we're talking about. And it ain't racism.
This is the Kevin Jackson Radio Show.
Wake up and text. Text and eat. Mm-mm. Text and catch the bus. Text and miss your stop.
Wait.
Text and be late to work.
Sorry, I'm late.
Text and work. Text and pretend to work. Text and act surprised when someone calls you out for not working.
Who, me?
Text and meet up with a friend you haven't seen in forever.
Hi.
Oh, hey.
Text and complain that they're on their phone the whole time. Text and listen to them complain that you're on your phone the whole time. Text and whatever. But when you get behind the wheel, give your phone to a passenger. Put it in the glove box. Just don't text and drive. Visit StopTextsStopWrecks.org. A public service announcement brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Take a look under your bed. Find stuff under there? What about jobs? No? Now try your basement. There's a pair of overalls that overall you're not so into anymore. A perfectly good laptop that hasn't sat in your lap in months. And even more stuff, but still no jobs? Well, you really have both. See, stuff is defined as household articles considered as a group. Sometimes this stuff is no longer needed. Wait, no longer needed? That can't be right. Because remember those jobs you were looking for? Those are really needed, and they're the stuff inside your stuff. Even inside that winter coat that moved with you to Phoenix. Our job is to unlock those jobs, and it starts when you donate your stuff to your local Goodwill. Here's how we do it. When you donate to Goodwill, we sell your stuff to provide job training for people right here in your community. So just by teaming up with Goodwill, you help create jobs. And isn't that worth parting with the leftover keytar from your 80s cover band? Goodwill. Donate stuff, create jobs. Find your nearest donation center at goodwill.org. A message from Goodwill and the Ad Council.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
If you or a loved one is a survivor of abuse by Boy Scouts of America representatives as far back as the 1970s, we urge you to speak up. We'll stand with you and get you the help and financial compensation you deserve. A jury in Portland, for example, awarded $18.5 million in punitive damages in one Boy Scout sexual abuse case. The Boy Scouts of America filed for bankruptcy, and funds have been set aside to compensate those injured. Time is limited, and so are the funds. Call today. Don't wait. For free information on how to file your claim, call All Survivors Advocates right now. We have a long track record in helping our clients get the legal justice and compensation they deserve. Please, we are ready to help you. Call today.
800-364-2984. 800-364-2984. 800-364-2984. That's 800-364-2984.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. Danpilla.com.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
Kevin Jackson Radio Show.
And it didn't cost us a dime.
I told you so. Just call me Nostradamus. You're listening to the Kevin Jackson Show. This is Charles Love sitting in. So, I knew it. I guess I shouldn't give myself so much credit because it's simply common sense. But everywhere across the country, they haven't even decided whether they're going to close schools or not. Or what this so-called hybrid plan looks like, but parents have already decided that they're going to take matters into their own hands and try to find alternatives. There's an article in the New Orleans Picayune talking about what they call pandemic pods. And what it is little mini schools in places. So they take 3 to 10 kids, bring them to, you know, the group of parents get together and they decide to do this, and they either rotate through homes probably or do it in the backyard or find a place to do it. And then they collectively hire teachers or tutors to teach their kids. So you get the best of both worlds. Your kids are still learning, and your kids, especially the young ones, get the social interaction that they need. They get to see their friends. They get to play with others. And this was bound to happen. I'm sure as all of this unfolds, it's new and there's actions and reactions, the government's going to try to decide if they want to allow that. And you may have another constitutional crisis here. We've seen a lot of those these days. But it was bound to happen. What are people supposed to do? If you can't send your kids to school, you're concerned about their well-being, you're concerned about their education, and you have to go to work, even if you're working remotely, they expect you to actually do it, you know. So what do you do? So this is one alternative. So I'm sure you'll have other creative ideas. But in this one, like I said, there's going to be people left behind, the people who are the most creative and the most innovative, and the people who have the most means. In the article, it said that people were being paid, these teachers and tutors, between $25 and $70 an hour. Now, $25, maybe you can put that bill, but $70, even if you got a couple parents together, two or three parents, that's a pretty steep chunk of change to be paying for school every day. Keeping in mind that you're talking about people, regardless of their income, who didn't put that in the family budget. They didn't have education in the budget. They were going to public school. Their taxes was the budget. So now you have this issue where they had to do the best they could, and this is what they came up with. But what are the parents who don't have the means to do so do? They're going to, again, be in a situation where they're left behind. Their kids are going to be left behind academically, and they're going to be stuck in that crisis of trying to figure out what to do. There are going to be other things people are going to do, and maybe they'll come up with a concept or something that those parents can do that don't have the means to pay this money. But at the same time this is going on, there's news that we knew the teachers were pushing back, saying that we don't want to open, it's not safe. In certain areas, they're talking about going on strike if they have to open. So the parents involved, eventually something will come up, whether it's a charity or they find some creative way to teach their kids for those who are less wealthy. But people are going to eventually find alternatives. So my question is, are the teachers planning their own demise and they just don't realize it? It's kind of like the sports thing. People say a lot of people didn't come back to the sports because of the protests and things of that nature, which may play a part into it. And it's different that we're still on lockdown and we can't do a lot of things. So people, you think people will be watching it because they got nothing else from a live TV standpoint to do. But then there are people who got used to things because they're creatures of habit and they've been watching sports for a while. Now it's been gone just long enough that they realize, hey, what? Look, I never knew this, but it wasn't as important to my daily life as I thought it was. So that may have a detrimental effect on them and may be a reason why some of the viewership is down. Well, that can go for the teachers as well. Everybody is so focused on we need to go back to school and concerned about what do I do about my kids, because that's at top of mind. But at some point, they're going to fight through it if this goes, let's say it goes the whole school year. So even the kids, the parents that are scrambling and have no idea what they're going to do, they're not going to go a whole year not knowing what to do. So most of them, because of not being able to afford it, when school starts back that following year, they'll send them right to that public school. But I think these teachers might be putting themselves in a position of at least allowing us to realize that they're too demanding and too costly. And guess what? We found another way. So bye-bye. You know, this may be an opportunity for people for homeschooling or for people who are proponents of school choice to try to put the pressure on, even financially, to help these parents find alternatives so that when the schools come back, they at the very least are not on their side in every demand that they have. In this time of polarization and everyone breaking into their little tribes, that story I told you from New Orleans had a, there was a similar one in San Francisco, but it had a twist. So there was a wealthy Silicon Valley investor who tweeted out that he was looking for the best fourth to sixth grade teacher in the Bay Area who wants a 1-year contract that will beat whatever they are getting paid to teach 2 to 7 students in my backyard. He went on to say, if you know this teacher and we hire them, I will give you a $2,000 Uber Eats gift card. So he's going to pay somebody $2,000 for the referral and then pay a teacher more than they actually make now to teach 2 to 7 kids in his backyard. Now, he got backlash because, you know, this is some wealthy guy taking care of his kid, doing this and going out this far out to help his kids, and the rest of us can't afford it. See, as long as you have jealousy, you're going to always have class issues. But this man is simply trying to do the best he can for his kids. You're closing the school. He's following the rules. His kids probably go to some private school, fancy private school, and he thinks he's fine. Then he realizes the governor says, nope, if I close public schools, your private school can't open too. So what is he supposed to do? What would know better? What would you do if you had the means to pay somebody to teach your kids? You would do the same thing. So shaming them is part of the problem with what's happening in society today, because America, why America is slowly not becoming America again. Don't shame him for taking care of his kids because he's got more than you have. Isn't that the same thing the people who are marching in the streets are saying they're trying to stop?
This is the Kevin Jackson Radio Show.
When you have a pain in the neck, a real pain in the neck, back, shoulder, or legs, you now have two convenient choices to get fast relief without taking another pill. Because now, Sunny Bay Heating Wraps and Pillows are available at both Amazon and Walmart. Yes, see Sunny Bay's 4.5 to 5-star customer reviews on Amazon.com or Walmart.com. Our made in the USA microwavable heat wraps, heatable neck pillows, and extra large body wraps are designed better for perfect support where and when you need it. Even while driving, Sunny Bay wraps will not burn and stay balanced to provide soothing hot or cold therapy to help treat temporary or chronic pain. And the best part? Sunny Bay quality products start at under $20. Join thousands of happy customers and see why Sunny Bay products have a lifetime 100% positive rating on both Amazon and Etsy. It's easy. Click Amazon or Walmart and search today for Sunny Bay.
Now with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses, your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano colloidal silver from Americare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. Americare's nano colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, Americare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day, but supplies are limited. Purchase nano colloidal silver now at immunesupportnow.com. That's immunesupportnow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.
For listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
Fireworks and ammonium nitrate appear to have been the fuel that ignited the massive explosion that rocked the Lebanese capital of Beirut. Experts and videos of the blast suggest. The scale of the damage from the epicenter of the explosion at the port of Beirut to the windows blown out miles away resembles other blasts involving the chemical compound commonly used as an agricultural fertilizer. As schools across the country make decisions on regarding how to reopen safely, the CDC says the chance that that a child will die from COVID-19 is one in a million. Kids will be going back to school in South Dakota. South Dakota Republican Governor Kristi Noem.
Our kids need to be in school. It's better for them. We've got a lot of kids that haven't checked in since this virus hit. It's really our most vulnerable population that needs to be back in those classrooms.
This is USA Radio News. At least six people are dead after Tropical Storm Isaias spawned tornadoes and dumped rain inland during its march up the East Coast. Isaias made landfall as a Category 1 hurricane in North Carolina. It was downgraded to a tropical storm on its way to the Northeast. The National Hurricane Center says Isaias is now moving into Canada. Some governors are joining together to get millions of coronavirus test kits. USA Radio Network's Wendy King reports.
A coalition of governors from seven states announced an interstate compact to expand COVID-19 testing. Maryland, Louisiana, Massachusetts, Michigan, North Carolina, Ohio, and Virginia joined the compact, along with the Rockefeller Foundation to expand rapid point-of-care antigen tests for the coronavirus by purchasing more than 3 million.
President Trump also says coronavirus testing will continue to increase across the country. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Has to end here.
Actually, it's just gotten started.
No!
This is the Kevin Jackson Radio Show.
I have the definitive proof that Trump is a racist. You're listening to the Kevin Jackson Show. Charles Love sitting in. I have here in my hands an article from the USA Today. And while it is an opinion piece, I think we should take it all as fact. I mean, this guy can't be biased. It's written by Stuart Stevens. He is a GOP strategist. And in the article, he talks about having worked within Republican ranks for 30 years and working on many campaigns, including five Republican presidential campaigns. So he knows his stuff. And in this piece, he's going to lay out all the proof with many clear-cut examples, and there'll be no way at the end of this that we can rebut anything he says. So he starts off by saying that he believes that race was the original sin of the modern Republican Party. So we're going to have to go through this pretty slowly so we get a full understanding of what he's saying. So he says race was the original sin of the modern Republican Party. So I know most younger people don't know, but most people, I'm sure Kevin's audience is astute and they know that the Republican Party was founded on abolishing slavery. That is why he made the point to say the modern Republican Party. So he never draws a distinction of when he's saying he's drawing the line and starting that date, but I would assume he means that common Southern strategy and when they claim the party switched. So I'm going to give him he means sometime after the Civil Rights Act of 1964. So he's saying in the last 50 years, and he would know he's been active for 30 years. I think he said he's from Mississippi. So you have to take a look before you get into his views for Trump and how he can piggyback that to Trump. He is saying that it's no longer a problem, not a large problem. He's saying that obviously there are racists, but it is not what the Republican Party is anymore because he says it was. But when was it? What did he see? He doesn't give us any examples of that because most of this is currently about Trump. But mostly he talks about their not appealing to blacks. He talks about working on a campaign in Mississippi and he was in a close race against a Democrat and there was an independent running who was black. So he figured the best job for his client was to support that independent candidate and get him to rise in the polls, because he would steal away votes from the Democrat. And that is how his candidate could win. So he's not saying here that the GOP was racist. He's saying that they didn't do a good job of appealing to blacks, which I 100% agree with him there. But he did a very poor way of wording it. He should have just said, we never did the outreach we should have, or we never explained conservatism to them. You know, I talked about where I come from and my upbringing. And I grew up in Gary, Indiana. Majority black town. Most people were Democrats. And I was always an independent thinker. And so when I got close to being old enough to vote, I said, I think I might have voted Democrat the first time. Then I said, this is silly, this automatic thing. I don't know anything. I'm not just give somebody my vote and I don't know anything about them. And people tell me I should vote for a particular party just because they're there. It doesn't make sense. I've always been a logical person. I should stay in that way. So let me gather all the information, look at both sides, and decide who I agree with. So I was determined to the next election cycle, listen to the Democrat candidate, listen to the Republican candidate, see what they are offering, and make my educated choice. The problem is the GOP candidate never came. Either it's a state house or state senate role and no one was running, or local council, no Republican running, or it was a governor or a senatorial race, and they just didn't come to my area at all. If this is the type of thing he's talking about, then I'm on board, which is true. And I've been yelling for years that people will listen to you. If what you say makes sense, you'll gain votes. You may not gain enough to win, but this is a marathon, not a sprint. And that's one of the downsides of politics and running for office becoming so expensive that people have to do a cost benefit analysis and say, is it worth it for me to come up to Gary, spend some money, slap up some posters, have some snacks and bring some people in and rent a room to get 17 votes? And that's a tough one for me, because technically the answer is no. For that individual politician, it's not even close, because he's right. He's going to get very few votes. But in the long term, in the marathon I'm speaking of, it was extremely important. They were blowing a golden opportunity. Had they done that every election cycle, it starts there. It just starts with black people not being like, oh my God, I've never seen a Republican. So it will start to demystify those stereotypes and beliefs. You know, in my first book, Logic, The Truth About Blacks and the Republican Party, I lay a lot of that out. I talk about where I came from and what I thought, and how, though my beliefs were more in line with conservatives and with the Republican Party than the Democrat, I didn't vote for them for years because they never asked for my vote. I could not have been the only one out there like that. And if there were some things they needed to tweak in their message, they would have learned that had they come and talked to us. So you got, and lastly, if the only person that can tell us what a Republican is and what they stand for is the Democrat, that's probably the most dangerous and most toxic problem of the three. So you don't come because you can't get a vote. And then you got some Democrat spreading lies about you, and you're not there to disprove them. So he's right on that account. But then he goes on to talk about Trump's appeal, saying Trump's sole appeal is white grievance. I don't necessarily believe that to be true, but let's give him his argument. Let's say that is his sole appeal. You have to ask, if you're being honest anyway, why? Why does that work? Why is he appealing to white grief? And why is the white grief even there? So if there's white grief, some people would just simply chalk it up to racism, but it's not. It's white people feeling whatever. that they're not getting what they're supposed to get from the government, left out, feeling that they are not in a position to live life and live the American dream the way they thought they had been. Then they're probably noticing the shift in culture and how certain groups are being prioritized. And while many of us have said, well, it makes sense because these people weren't being treated fairly before, and we're trying to rectify, but rectifying on the backs of others, no matter what may have been there and what caused it, is not equality, and it's not the right thing to do. So why that grievance is there is just as important as whether he's appealing to it or not. But we don't know if that's actually the case, do we? He goes on to say the polls show that we're moving in the wrong direction. Only 13% of the people say things are going in the right direction. But he's not saying why. You know, it's just like a math equation with numbers missing. You'd have to ask, is it COVID they're talking about? Is it the lockdowns? Are they not satisfied because they think the government is intruding on their freedom? So I'm sure if you ask conservatives and liberals, they would all say they're not satisfied. So you can't just say, see, they're not satisfied and say Trump, which is what this person is implying. And did you poll Democrats? Did you poll Republicans? What are the questions that you ask? So these are the types of things that you can tell already is going on in this opinion piece. He's already got an agenda, and he's going to paint it to in its worst light and say it as if it's fact, and he knows from the inside because he's a GOP strategist. He says Trump's instinct is to make 2020, the 2020 election, about a culture war. So this is key. We need to spend time on this because I got some interesting thoughts about this supposed election strategy that Trump is using. Back in a moment.
This is the Kevin Jackson Radio Show.
Keyboard Cat, Hamilton the Pug, and Toast Meets World. These are some of the internet's most beloved pets. With millions of YouTube views, shares, Instagram likes, followers, and fans across the globe. But what do all these amazing pets have in common? Their stories started in a shelter. Start your story. Adopt a dog or cat today. Visit theshelterpetproject.org to find a shelter or adoptable pets near you. Training that pet to play the keyboard? Well, that's entirely up to you. Visit theshelterpetproject.org and hear more about Hamilton the Pug, Toast, and Keyboard Cat's amazing adoption stories. Start a story. Adopt a shelter or rescue pet today. Your perfect pet is just a click away at theshelterpetproject.org. A public service announcement brought to you by Mattis Fund, the Humane Society of the United States, and the Ad Council.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutraMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, stimulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.
Hi, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, the Mineral Doctor. You've heard me talk about 90 for life for years. 60 minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 2 fatty acids. You may not know this, that I've actually designed Arthrodex for animals. That's right. Your pets need 90 for life, too. Get this essential pet product by calling 877-279-9422. That's 877-279-9422. Again, 877-279-9422.
I'm here with Scott Youseum, founder of OMG Tax. Tell us how your company helps our listeners out there who have a problem with the IRS.
My team of lawyers, enrolled agents, and licensed tax experts remove wage garnishments sometimes in the same day. We even have reduced the total debt some of our clients were required to pay through what is known as an offer in compromise.
Can you give us an example of somebody you help?
Oh, can I ever? We have taken a $500,000 liability with the IRS. Guess what? The client didn't pay a dime through the representation known as non-collectible status with the government.
If you owe the IRS more than $10,000 and you want to see if it's possible to pay a lot less, call OMG Tax right now for a free tax-saving consultation.
Call 800-486-8112. 800-486-8112. 800-486-8112. That's 800-486-8112.
Would you like to get back that full head of hair from years past? Introducing Reveal from GCNLife.com. Beverly Hills dermatologist Dr. Nathan Newman invented Reveal, which contains polypeptides with natural botanicals and no parabens, sulfates, silicones, or dyes for a salon-quality hair growth product, Reveal. Here's Dr. Newman.
I've treated a lot of patients who lose their hair and they lose their confidence. We've created a unique set of polypeptides, which we call HPT6. The HPT6 contains the polypeptides from 6 different plants. The scalp infusion treatment should be used on wet or dry scalp. The Reveal Hair Care System is designed to be used for men and women alike.
Get Reveal at GCNLife.com with a 30-day money-back guarantee. So try Reveal today at GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637. Plus a discount up to 25% off for Reveal at GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637.
Kevin Jackson Radio Show.
Con Kevino Jacksones.
Welcome back to the Kevin Jackson Show. Charles Love sitting in. I want to finish taking apart or analyzing this USA Today piece by GOP strategist Stuart Stevens. And when I left off, I was pointing out how he said Trump's instinct is to make 2020 a culture war. So this is where it really starts to simmer, and I start to get, get the tingle and say I have to say something about this, because you may be wondering, what's the point? He's probably just a typical establishment GOP hack or whatever the case may be. But it's, I have a different take on this. I don't often speak because I talk about the culture and I talk about bigger issues that were here long before Trump and will be after. I don't spend much time talking about Trump or any specific politician, and I'm definitely not a defender of Trump. He's a grown man, he can defend himself. There's things I like, there's things I don't like. But what bothers me about these people is it just shows their lack
of awareness that they just don't get it. And this is where it started to kick in. So Trump wants to make 2020 about a culture war. He does go on to equate culture war, at least in Trump's mind, to race war. So I look at that and I say, what did he think this was right now? There has always been, or at least for the last 20 years, a culture war. It's what I've been writing about. It's just that only one side has been fighting up until now. It's the reason why a lot of people who don't really like Trump will vote for him or endorse him anyway. It's because they say at least he's fighting. You see, this Stevens guy is the problem, a bigger problem than Trump, because Trump will be gone. You can say what you want to say about him. You know, let's assume they're right. He's a racist. So the racist is out of office. But guess what? Racism won't go away. The marches won't go away. The left and their attacks on the culture and religion and everything else won't go away because they don't like the fabric of the country. They just saw Trump as a wonderful conduit to go after it. So Trump is gone, you know, if that happens. And this guy would still think that, you know, he took the high road and, you know, he took the moral high ground and he was right. So he feels good about himself while the country's taking a nosedive and there's no one left to fight it. Because he's one of the people that wasn't fighting the culture war when the left was. When the left was pushing a Marxist agenda, when they were making everything about race, he was quiet for 30 years, as he admits in the article. So that's part of his problem. And then if you weren't sure that he was completely biased, and this is just coming out of a deep hatred of Trump, he writes this. There is a need in Trump world to describe his erratic behavior and lack of discipline as some kind of brilliant hidden strategy. Because otherwise, you are left with the conclusion that he is a blithering idiot, which, of course, Trump is. But he's an idiot with deep racial animosity that dates back decades. Now, the racial animosity is funny because this is that classic tactic they take where they pinpoint something that people have always been saying, and then they don't give any examples. He finally gets to one thing. He talks about after exoneration of Central Park Five, he still says they're guilty. So that proves that he's a racist and that he doesn't want monuments removed and he didn't believe Bubba Watson. Well, most people didn't believe Bubba because Bubba didn't see a news. And even if there was a noose, which there wasn't, Bubba wasn't even there, so Bubba didn't see a noose. So that's silly. The Central Park 5 defense is like, and I know they got the documentary about it and all this other stuff, but, you know, we don't need to go through every ugly detail. The bottom line is, it's like being arrested for murder, and your alibi is that you were knocking over a liquor store and you assaulted a man and stole his wallet. It doesn't mean that it's okay for him to do a full page ad and say that he wants the death penalty. It doesn't mean that it's okay for someone to say that you're a murderer if you didn't murder anybody. But let's not pretend that you're innocent either. And common sense would say, again, that with that ad, he's assuming at that time that they're guilty. They're saying he knew that he wasn't. He was some millionaire who saw something happen and he did that and that's what he thought. And people say that's evidence of his racism. But it doesn't really matter because he went on to attack the voters. He said, well, people ask me often if the vote 63 million people are racist. And I say, no, they're not racist. They just accept his racism, which that's a heck of a slap of a face. That's a backhanded compliment. Well, you're not stupid. You just don't know you're not smart, is what he's saying about every Trump voter. But there's some things that are omitted here that I think the average person wouldn't notice. So I read this and I sense an old white man who doesn't know any black people well, because he never talks about that at all. So if the 63 million people are okay with a racist, what are all the black supporters and Hispanic supporters? Are they okay with racists as well? He goes on to blame Republicans, the elected officials, for not standing up to him and doing anything about what he says and what he believes. He says that he can't believe that no one has said anything about Trump's antics yet. And they're spineless, and, you know, even the establishment aren't saying anything about him, and then letting him just openly say these racist things that in his 30 years, keep in mind, while they're printing him in these kind of papers and the left are loving him because, yay, he's attacking Trump. But he's also saying that for 30 years, he's worked in Republican circles, worked with Republican politicians, including presidential candidates, and he's never heard anybody speak the way Trump speaks. He's so shocked and appalled by it. So I'm surprised the left would print it, because isn't he then saying that I'm an insider, I see, and I know what happened, and none of those people were racist until Trump came along. Kind of what he's saying, but you have to read between the lines and pay attention to the implications and also the underlying things that he's implying. He does have something good to say about one Republican. This may tell you something. Mitt Romney, the only man to stand up to his antics, the only man to push back against his open racism. And his concern is that the Republicans see the light and they must be morally corrupt because they're following him anyway, because they'll get, I don't know, a judge or tax cuts or something else that they want. So they're willing to deny that he's a racist or ignore it. He reminds me a lot of the white liberal who talks about racism a lot, but never really admits that he's racist or somebody in his circle racist. You know, I've had friends that talk about, man, as a white person, I understand what blacks are going through and what they complain about. It's this racism in the system and, you know, the systemic racism. And there's just so many racists and white people are racist. I'm like, well, you're 50. You're white. You grew up in a white neighborhood. All your family's white. Who you know that's racist? Nobody. Maybe they might say I got a crazy aunt that lives in the South, but nobody in their circle, not the college roommate, none of their professors, none of their close friends, nobody to hang out with, nobody at work. So if it's so prevalent, how can you not know anybody? So you got all these whites who say there's racism, then they don't know anybody personally. Know a lot of white people. You got all these blacks who say they've never experienced racism. Some prejudice, yes, but I mean the forceful kind, but they know it's racist. So you can't question that because there's something wrong with you. But I got to read the last piece here, because if you didn't really understand what he was really trying to say, one, he says the proof that the Republicans are spineless and won't stand up is that they won't say Black Lives Matter. Has any Republican senator or House member even uttered the words Black Lives Matter? What does it say about the future of the Republican Party? Right? When his home state of Mississippi lowered the Confederate battle flag and Trump tries to raise it again, the kind of rhetoric is flowing through this article. And if you weren't sure what he really felt about Trump, he ends. Trump is trying to refight the Civil War. He'll discover in November that it's over and America won. And just to put the cherry on top, you know, these articles always give you the person's bona fides. Stuart Stevens, a senior advisor to the Anti-Trump Lincoln Project, was chief strategist for Republican presidential nominee Mitt Romney in 2012. His latest book, It Was All a Lie, How the Republican Party Became Donald Trump, will be published on Tuesday. Oh, he's got a new book he's trying to sell, and he's going to make money on the facts of sowing the seeds of racism. What a surprise.
This is the Kevin Jackson Radio Show.
Putting an end to identity politics.
And now, something completely different.
This is the Kevin Jackson Radio Show.